In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 20, January 4th, 1927. And Jesus says, Luisa, my daughter, when it comes to things that regard my divine will, heaven and earth remain silent and reverent. So here we, you know, in anything that that is holy, it's always silent and reverent. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Anything that regards the divine will, there's an awe. There is a deep desire to listen, to hear. And what we all know is we hear God in silence. The more still we are, the more reserved we are, the more we enter into silence, we begin to hear God. That's why Jesus says, those that talk and talk and talk, there's nothing inside. It's all talk. And numerous times what we have to do is get rid of the word I, me, and my, and mine. And when that happens, there's really nothing to talk about. It's this ego, this self-centeredness, there's this self-love, and the soul that doesn't have focus is always talking about themselves. I remember this, and I remember that, and I remember this, and that's the fallen human nature. And Jesus is teaching us in the divine will to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in silence, to look at Jesus in the monstrance is to fall in love with God, to see him, and to see how even now he's isolated and alone. He's come to earth to redeem humanity, and he is rejected, abandoned, ignored. So Jesus says, when things regard the divine will, everything remains silent. Everything is reverent. And he says to be spectators of a new act of this supreme will. And what's so glorious about that, this isn't common. The natural, if you want to say, it's the doors open to the supernatural. The Lord wants us to hear what he has to say, and he speaks in silence. And if we're not silent, if we're always talking, we're always gabbing, we're always focused on ourselves, what we think, our memory is of ourselves, our family, our nation, there's a loss there. There's an emptiness there. But when we begin to think about the Lord, our God, our Savior, our King, our Mother, our Queen, and now this newborn Luisa, we become spectators of, Jesus says, of a new act of the supreme will. The thing I read this morning was, in the end, my Maker of the heart will triumph. There's great hope, and we're coming towards the end. See, this is the thing. I was talking to someone the other day, and it was all doom and gloom. It was like, oh, and this is going to happen. And then where are we going to go? What are we going to do? It's like, God's going to take care of it. If we are in communion with God, if we are one with God, he's going to take care of everything. He says to Luisa, you do what I want, I'll do what you want. So what do we want? We want all our loved ones, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, we want all of humanity to be in the kingdom. And Jesus says, good, I want that. Now, and then he says, would you repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established? So that our lady, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like her son. That's her triumph. Finally, she has the children that Jesus gave to her. That's all of humanity. When he was dying on the cross, she truly becomes the mother because we begin to have her DNA, her life in us. And that's Jesus. Jesus was born of Mary, and we are going to be born of Mary. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, she says, time has now come to an end. That's 1947. Everything has been falling apart. So what we have to do is we have to begin to listen to all the I love yous in creation. This is what the round of creation is. To see all the I love yous in creation, to smell all the I love yous in creation, to enter into heaven on earth. And again, when you do that, there's a silence that you enter into. You begin to hear, like even the birds chirping. You want to be happy? Find a recording of birds chirping and begin to listen. Listen to their I love yous to God. That's the divine will. The divine will is in everything. And then participate in that happiness of the chirping of birds. It's a delight. It's a new beginning. If you're oppressed, I mean, they've done, you know, tests with plants, and when there's classical music, the plants lean towards the music. When there's rock music, the plants lean away from the music. There's something not natural. Now, one of the things that we know is one of the most popular bands of the 60s had a reverse heartbeat, which agitates. That reverse heartbeat, that drum, that reverse heartbeat. You can't be peaceful. There's an agitation that goes on. And yet with classical music, there is that natural heartbeat that's there, which helps humanity in creation. I mean, what happened in the 50s is, you know, DDT, destroy everything. You know, it's good. It's important to destroy everything. You know, put fluoride in your water. Put, you know, chemicals. Use chemicals. Use the fertilizer. And it's like, we're out of whack. We're out of what God has planned. There's something unnatural. And so God is saying to us, I want you to enter into this holiness, this sacredness, this life. So he says, anything that regards my divine will, the earth remains silent. The earth is silent. The earth is reverent to be spectators of this new act of the supreme will. And then he says, in each new act of the divine will brings to everyone one more divine life. That's God. God is constantly breathing. You know, he wants us to enter into his breath. That's what he did with Louisa. He breathed into Louisa. Jesus and Mary breathed this life into Louisa. And she was silent. She was in bed listening, participating in this word have her begin to be recreated, regenerated. I love that word, regeneration. That's what God has done. He's done this on the cross, taking our place, dying in our place. And now with sanctification, it's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming. This is why the end is near. It's not the end of our life. It's not doom and gloom. The end is for the evil one. He's ruled the earth for 6,000 years. And Jesus tells Louisa, the new era is coming. This new and divine way of holiness is coming, which means when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what Jesus is teaching us in silence, to be silent, to hear him, to be attracted to the life, the light, the love of God, which is the divine will. He says it brings one more new divine life, one more new strength, one more new divine happiness to of one more enrapturing beauty to humanity. We begin to see things from a divine, like I said, going back to just hearing the birds chirping, get a recording, look, you know, the internet has everything. Find the chirping of birds. They say that the chirping of birds produces the opening of the flowers in the morning. It's that vibration of life, you know, that opens up to the dew that's out there in all the plants. So Jesus wants us to get back to paradise, to begin to see things from a divine perspective, to begin to live the life that Adam lost. That's what the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve brought to the earth, this universal life, this Catholic life. And the Lord is asking us to enter into this gift. He says, and because there's one more divine life at every instant, one more divine strength, one more divine happiness. One enters into the enrapturing beauty of God in creation. We see the round is to say to God with, I love you too. I mean, the I love you in the leaves of the tree. The I love you with the breeze. The I love you with the warmth of the sun. The I love you is all around us. This enrapturing beauty is all around us. And we have fallen so far, Jesus says, that it was a miracle that Adam survived. And God wants us to begin to see things from a divine perspective. He needs us to enter into this life. He says, therefore, the divine will operating that issues an act from itself is the greatest thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. The divine will operating. God wants us to participate in this life. That's why he says the divine will is an infinite ocean of love. And he says, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean and drown. I don't want you to ever leave. I want you to become part of this life, this love, this light of God. And so Jesus is teaching us when we're silent. He's teaching us when we enter into this awe of God, this, as Jesus says right at the beginning, the heaven and earth remain silent, reverent as spectators of this new act of the supreme will. And it's new because and when you read new in the divine will, it's God, of this God act of the supreme will. Each new act, each God act of it brings to everyone one more divine life, one more divine strength, one more divine happiness. It's paradise. It's heaven. So Jesus is saying up to us, the divine will operating that issues from this act itself, is the greatest thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. He's asking us to participate in this. It's you know, everybody's trying to find their way, and their way is God's way. It's to enter into this abundant life that he breathed into Adam so that Adam could receive the image and likeness of God, participating one with God. So what it is, Jesus says, is a new heavens. It's a new earth, more beautiful suns that can come out of one more act of my most holy divine will. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, listen in my listening. It's one more act. He says, it's a new heavens. It's a new earth. It's more beautiful suns, S-U-N-S, that come out of one more act of the divine will. So when you begin to pray the rounds, and One of the rounds that I love are the rounds of Easter, Pentecost. And you can do this all summer long, all fall to Feast of Christ the King. And I love that. It's just every day when you enter into the rounds, life becomes, you begin to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch all the I love yous of God in creation. God in you is to adore God. See, heaven is to, as Our Lady said, my children are going to enter the beatific vision, where they belong, the eternity where they belong, and enjoy the beatific vision, where the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. Why did he create us? He created us so that we can participate in him. We can adore him. And I mean, the greatest happiness that we have is to be with God. That's the greatest happiness, to see God, to hear God, to participate in God. That's why Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. He says, take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Everything that Jesus says is to let us let go of the trap of the enchantment of earth. And a lot of people, like remember we were talking, this is about 20, maybe 30 years ago in the prayer group. And we were talking about heaven, the beauty of heaven, the light, the life, the love that's there in heaven. This one person in our prayer group said, I can see nothing happier, nothing greater than a sunset. And I was astonished because, yeah, sunsets are pretty, but they're short-lived. And then it's dark. It's beautiful. But you see, heaven is eternally beautiful. There is no end to it. And Jesus wants us to begin to live heaven on earth. He said to Louisa, I rose from the dead so that humanity can rise from the death of their human will and begin to live the abundant life of the new Adam and the new Eve. They went through this death of the human will. The human will was made for God, Jesus says. The universe was made for man. And when Adam said, I will not obey, I won't be faithful, it's just echoing the Lucifer's, I will not serve, I will not obey. What happened? It was darkness. The evil one entered the darkness. Humanity fell. And then humanity chose to listen to Lucifer rather than God. And God said, that's what you want. And that's what we've been doing for 6,000 years. And Jesus says now, very clearly, the time of the evil one is coming to an end. His kingdom is going to be done. And see, when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, he will be banished from earth, banished from the universe or the solar system, banished from the universe. He's going to be gone. We're going to be finally living the life with, that's the triumph they make at the heart of Mary. We're going to be like Our Lady. We're going to be like our Lord. We're of the new Adam, of the new Eve. That's her triumph. So Jesus is asking us, pleading with us, what do you want? And so he says today, echo the silence. Enter into this reverence of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. That's why we have the opportunity to read, to study, to put this into practice. And I thank God every day for this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. It's a new beginning for ourselves and for all of humanity. So on volume 20, January 20th, 1927, Jesus says to Louisa and to us, you have no reason to afflict yourself. There's no reason for worry. There's no reason for fear and anxiety, complaints and negativity. Jesus says, there's no reason. I have accomplished everything, Jesus says. I've given to you my mother, and she's bringing you to me. and she's teaching you, especially with the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, how to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And our Lord is teaching us every day the lessons that he gives to Louisa, how to be free. So he says, you have no reason to afflict yourself with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. He says, because inside and outside of you, there is the communion of my holy divine will that is not subject to undergoing any consummation. It's, what does that mean? He says, basically, this perennial communion of the divine will that we're all entering into little by little. He says, I've given Holy Communion to humanity through his church to prepare them. See, what happens is you receive Holy Communion and then you receive the final blessing, the final prayer, final blessing, and mass, Holy Mass is over. The church does not want to interfere with your communion with Jesus. So this is the time every day, the most holy, the holiest time to enter into this communion with God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him, blessing him and worshiping him. And he says, I want you to participate in this communion of my most holy divine will, the entering into the perennial communion where there's no end, where we will really, like Adam, walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. There'll be no interruption with our communion. There will be, it says, not subject to go undergo any consummation. There, it's not the completion. It's to participate in God continuously. So he says, the divine will is life always in its fullness. It's not, it's heaven. Each, this is why Jesus says to Louisa, and it teaches us, when we do an act in the divine will, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that's all the angels, all the saints, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything. Jesus says, this is fullness. This is, it's a double heaven every time you do this for the saints. The saints are praying that we repair and redo everything that they did in a saintly human way. See, our job is to be one with Jesus and Mary, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when you pray in the divine will, you're praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. God is hearing everyone, all the angels, all the saints, all of humanity, past, present, and future, praying with your voice. I adore you and I love you and I praise you and I thank you and I bless you and I worship you. That's the rounds. To participate in this is giving, think about it, heaven, a double heaven to the saints every time. So it's doubled and it's doubled and it's doubled. It's doubled. It never ends. There's nothing static, nothing dead, nothing inanimate. Everything is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. He says the divine will, it's life that is always in its fullness. He says, nor could my love tolerate that the little daughter of my divine will, that's Louisa and us linked to her, will be unable to receive our divine life that is always new, always continuous, always a new beginning. Heaven isn't like, sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. Heaven, just imagine paradise. Everything in paradise is still living. Nothing is dead. Nothing is inanimate. Everything is alive. Everything has this fullness of life, of love, of light. And God is asking us to participate in that now. So when you pray your rounds, and this is what you see with the saints, basically. One of the things that the great professors of the seminary used to do is we would watch them walking every day, praying the rosary. You know, the rosary was at their side. They're praying the rosary. And they were always peaceful, always joyful, always happy amid the craziness that was going on in the 70s. It was very amazing to watch the silence that these really holy priests lived. And how much more now is Jesus giving to humanity with Louisa? How much more? I wish they, you know, at that time we had the books, we had the writings of Louisa. I would love to hear what they would say about what Louisa was teaching. It has to be amazing. Their understanding of scripture, sacred scripture, understanding of the dogma and doctrine, and understanding Louisa. It had to be astonishing, because they were filled with the love of God in turbulent times, and yet they were peaceful, joyful, and happy. And that's what Jesus is teaching us now. He wants us to enter into the silence of praying the rounds, to the silence of adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. The silence of entering into this new and divine way of holiness. This explosion of I love yous is very, very close to humanity. This is very close. Things are going to happen very, very powerfully. And God has asked us to be alive at this time to go through it. That's what he wants. He's asking us to really begin to embrace this new and divine way of holiness so that everything can change. So he says, the divine will, its life is always in its fullness. He says, and my divine love would not tolerate that Louisa or those linked to Louisa will be unable to receive our divine life, which is always new, always continuous, always beautiful, always holy, always sacred. It's this, the life of heaven on earth. And that's what's so glorious about this gift. There's people ask, well, what are the rules? What are the regulations? Jesus says you can have it 30, 60, or 100 fold. That's his rule. What do you want? Well, I want to know. Well, read. Well, where is it? Well, read. It's tell me. No. Listen to Jesus. Read. Study. Put this into practice. Well, I have no time to read. I can't read. My eyes get tired. Well, use dream voice. Listen to the writings. See, I want to learn how to swim. Tell me how to swim. Get in the water and start swimming. I'll show you what to do. The divine will is, it's everything that you've ever wanted spiritually, but you got to jump in. And how do you jump in? By reading, by studying, by putting this into practice, listening to Jesus. What does Jesus say today? Divine life is fullness. He says, and it's so full that I could not tolerate Louisa or those linked to Louisa being unable to receive our divine life. In the fullness, that's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is always new, always continuous. So Jesus is getting us ready for this new and divine way of holiness. He really is. He needs us to begin to understand that everything that we've done to this point has been learning how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God is found only in the book of heaven. And that's hard for some people. Why didn't St. Thomas Aquinas talk about this? Why didn't St. Francis talk about this? It wasn't time. You know, it wasn't time for Adam, for Moses and King David and to receive the ontological change of holy baptism. It wasn't time for that. It wasn't time for them to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It wasn't time. But when Jesus came, it was time to enter into the sacraments and sacramentals. And he said, the medicine that I've given to humanity in this difficult time where the devil still is prince of this earth. And he says, basically, you have to choose what side you want. So as we choose, he gives us the help. And now he says, now the ultimate, now the final battle, the kingdom is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? What are your weapons? What is your defense? So far, we've had up to this point, the sacraments and sacramentals. What's coming is going to be all of hell. And God wins. I see the problem is it's not doom and gloom. It's we have been trained as Catholics with our dogma and doctrine, with the catechism to get ready for this. And there's been this pause for a number of years. What's the pause for? God is saying, here, now I'm giving you the weapons to use. He says, and the war that we're entering into is not a war of blood. It's a war of love. And God's going to win. Jesus and Mary are going to win. Saint Michael is going to win. I mean, it's get what God has planned from the beginning. The time of Lucifer is coming to an end. And he knows it. He's terrified. He's screaming in fear. So what he wants us to do is to be doom and gloom. No, he's going to go through the doom and gloom. We're going to be filled with the peace, the joy, and the happiness. Jesus says the survivors of this great chastisement that's coming, and God has to purify the world, purify the church. He says, we'll be the little children of the holy divine will. That's what Jesus says. I believe it. I mean, there's nothing that says as powerfully to humanity what God is going to do as what Jesus tells Louisa in the Book of Heaven, the how and the why the kingdom is coming, how to help bring it about and how to participate in it. Like I said, he said, I rose from the dead so humanity will rise from the death of their human will to live this resurrected life. He said, if you wait until you die to resurrect, you'll wait a long time in purgatory. He says, I want you to rise from the dead now. I want you to live an abundant life now. When you think about it, well, how does that work? It's the same thing that Jesus says. This is Jesus said is being born again. It's being born again continuously. Not just I'm born again. It's got to be continuous. That's why we go to Holy Mass every day. That's why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day. This is why we wear the scapular, pray the rosary every day. We want this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, not only doing the will of God, but now living in the will of God. He's created us to live at this time. He's predestined us to live at this time to participate in what he has planned. A new and divine way of holiness. So he says very, very clearly, he says, Volume 20, January 25th, 1927, my daughter, this is the true image of living in my eternal volition. This is the true image of living in the divine will. The soul copies the divine will within herself. When I was in art school, what we did was we had to draw. You know, that was the basics. You had to draw, and I remember, you know, plants, objects are easy. Then we had to come to the place. We had to come to the place of drawing ourselves, looking in the mirror, and drawing our face on paper. Now, it was really hilarious because you can draw an object, but when you try to duplicate, copy your image, it was hilarious. I mean, just I just remember the professor we had, He was from Ukraine. He was a great guy. He would always, it's just right. He would always have a cigarette in his mouth, and he'd, you know, grab something and he'd hold it up. He goes, look at this, basically, look at this crap, you know, and he'd go, where are you? I mean, if you, you know, he would be teaching, and it was hilarious. It was just so much fun. This is what Jesus says, that you have to learn how to copy the divine will within yourself. What did Jesus look like? How did Jesus act? What did Our Lady look like? How did Our Lady act? This is, the soul copies the divine will within herself. That's Jesus and Mary. And the supreme will copies the soul in such a way that your creator keeps the copy of your image impressed within his womb. This, it's not a photocopy. It's more than, it's the intimate copy of who you are. You see, God, I mean, the scripture says he knows every hair on her head. To copy the divine will is to read it. To put it into practice, to begin to live the life that they breathed into Louisa. Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa. Jesus says, the supreme will copies the soul. The soul copies the divine will in such a way that your creator, God himself, keeps a copy of your image impressed within his womb. It says he has written our name on the palm of his hand, carved our name into the palm of his hand. So Jesus says this copy is the portent of God in his womb. And the soul is the memory of all of God's works. The copy is the portent of God in God's womb. And the soul is the memory of everything that God did for this soul. That's why when we die, we are going to witness our whole life. Jesus is going to show us how we lived, basically, and what he had planned for us. He plans, and this is what Jesus tells Louisa, to make each of his children his divine masterpiece. The copy of the soul in God and the copy of God in the soul. That's the divine masterpiece. The carrying out of the divine life in each person, God in us. See, that's what the rounds are. The rounds are, I hear people say, oh, I'm going to do my rounds in the divine will. I'm going to praise God and love God and glorify. No. Jesus says he wants in us his praise, his glory. He's the perfect human. Our Lady's the perfect human, the new Adam and the new Eve, this adoring God and loving God and praising God. It's not my understanding. It's their understanding. So he says the copy is the portent of God in God's womb. The soul is the memory of God's work. The copy of the soul in God, the copy of God in the soul, the carrying out of the divine life in each person. That's what God wants. That's why he created us. So he says, Jesus says, how beautiful is the kingdom of my divine will. There is nothing dissolved in the all. The nothing is dissolved in the all of God. Reflecting on the drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This fallen human nature has been redeemed. And now Jesus wants to sanctify us. What does that mean? The nothingness of who we are is dissolved in the all of God. We dive into this infinite ocean of love and never come out. We participate in God. That drop of water into the chalice filled with wine, that drop of water becomes wine. How beautiful is the kingdom of my divine will. The nothing of the soul dissolves in the all of God, and the all of God is fused in the nothingness of the soul. So he says, the lowliness of the soul rises up to the divine heights, and the divine heights of God descend into the depths of the soul. Do you see what God has planned? This new and divine way of holiness that we're entering into, it's ours. And how much do we want it? Do we understand what God wants us to do, to live in our nothingness, to dive into this infinite ocean of love and dissolve with God, become one with God? You don't become God, but everything that's in this infinite ocean of love becomes yours. That drop of water becomes the ocean. Everything in the ocean belongs to that drop of water now. That's what God is saying to us. He's given us the book of heaven. And he's saying to us, the times are going to get really tough. You're not going to find a saint of the past 2,000 years who's going to have the weapons to fight what we're going to fight. So Jesus says, the weapons I'm going to give you is found in the book of heaven. It's all there. And then we're going to go, well, where are they? Where are they? Read. Tell me where it is. Tell me Jesus is. Read. Somebody called me the other day and said, I love the saints, and I can't stop reading about the saints. And you keep on saying, read the divine will. And I don't have the time to read the divine will because I love the saints. I said, that's your choice. You want to be saintly, good, and holy. God bless you. Jesus is calling us to share in divinity. How are you preparing for that? Jesus has given us the book of heaven. He's written our names in heaven in the book of life. And he's showing us now how and why we can become his divine masterpiece by reading, studying, and putting into practice the divine will. Well, what do I do? Read. You're going to see things that I can't see. If I tell you what I see, if each one of us is different, you have different fingerprints, different irises, different heights, sizes, colors, shapes. Why? God loves our uniqueness. He will speak to you uniquely in the divine will. And that's why you need a priest too. It's if you're like what happens during Lent. I always get somebody saying, I'm not going to eat, drink, or sleep for 40 days and for 40 nights. I said, that's not fasting. That's not praying. That's suicide. And God doesn't want that. Well, I want to fast. You know, well, this is what the church says. Okay. How to fast. And so what God is asking of us is get ready for what I'm going to do. I want to fuse the nothingness to the divine heights and the divine heights to the nothingness. He says, these are two beings that clasp together. This is the wedding feast. Inseparable, transfused, identified with each other in such a way that they can barely be recognized that they are two lives because they're palpitating together. This is what God is asking of us in the divine will. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. And there's really no excuse not to do this. He's given us the way and the how this is accomplished. And if you have the book of heaven, Jesus says to Louisa, I personally have given this book to each individual. Doesn't matter who gave it to you. Jesus says, I planned this from the beginning of time. This is part of God's plan. He says, I want the beauty of God in the kingdom of the will, dissolving in the nothingness of the soul so that everything can be fused together. That the two, heaven and earth, become clasped together, inseparable, transfused, identified with each other in such a way that anybody can barely recognize that there are two lives because they're palpitating as one. That's why God created us, so that we can be in his image and likeness. He had this planned. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us, really to begin to live this abundant life. So how do you do it? Read. What's God's telling you? Read. It's there. You're going to see things, like I said, that you're the only one that can understand what God is saying personally to you. It's how to begin to live this abundant life, one with Jesus, one with Mary, through Louisa. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, under the mantle of Mary, the intercession of Louisa, that we receive this divine healing for everyone and for everything, but also we receive the holy anointing that Jesus gave to Louisa to have the invincible strength to live in the divine will and no longer in our human will. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.